Guardian have the popcorn out. Tory tribes go to war. The FT weekend, investors and MPs alarmed by the idea of Johnson's return to number 10. The markets moved against the UK yesterday merely at the mention of Boris Johnson's name. The Telegraph, Sunak races to secure majority of Tory MPs, and the Times, Johnson will prove fatal. That's William Hague warning of a Tory death spiral if former PM returns to power. So let's stick with that story. And Lucy Fisher, political commentator with Times Radio, welcome back. Can you hear me, Lucy?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Lucy. Lucy, we were here a week ago and we did talk about Boris Johnson kind of in the abstract, but he's now, his mercy dash is completed and he's back. How do you see the state of play between the three contenders this morning?
Well, Rishi Sunak is clearly out in front. There are 97 Conservative MPs who have publicly declared for him. His campaign say behind the scenes, they've got to that magic threshold of 100 that mean he is definitely on the ballot paper. Boris Johnson is just a few over 50 public nominations, and Penny Mordaunt is quite far behind on just over 20. She is the only one of the three candidates who has formally declared. I think she likely did that in order to try and spark some momentum around her slightly more sluggish campaign. But at the moment, it feels like it's Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak who are out in front.
Okay, and there seems to be a certain momentum with Boris Johnson, but equally, is there a kind of, is it the unstoppable force meets the immovable object? There seems to be a certain cohort of people who just will not wear Johnson.
I think that's a great way to describe it. I mean, as ever, anything involving Boris Johnson tends to see him suck all the oxygen from the room. But he really is a Marmite figure. And I'm struck today that as well as some high profile endorsements, Priti Patel, the former Home Secretary, has just come out in support of him. He's also won the backing of Ben Wallace, Simon Clarke, some other cabinet ministers. There are also dire warnings about him returning to power. William Hague, very respected in the party, former leader, has said it's the worst idea he's heard in his 46 years as a Tory party member, this idea of Boris Johnson reprising his stint at the top job. Others have warned it would be a death spiral for the party if he wins. And I think that's because he's such a divisive character. The party's already practically tearing itself apart over the idea of him returning. There's also the practical issue for him if he were to win, and that's by no means certain, of that the Privileges Committee inquiry into whether he misled the Commons over Partygate is still ongoing. And in fact, it's just started to ramp up next month with testimonies in person and written from number 10 officials, other figures. So you also have this prospect, as extraordinary as it sounds, of if Boris Johnson did win, the scandal that ousted him from power the first time would dominate his second stint in that role.
Okay, so even if Boris Johnson relies on a certain amnesia from the public, the system does not have that amnesia. It's not going to let that go. So Lucy, what will happen on Monday, do you think? I presume there are kind of the two outcomes are that Rishi Sunak gets a majority and that's it, or else it's between him and Johnson by Monday and potentially goes to the members.
Yes, that's right. So I think the first scenario is if Rishi Sunak is the only one who's reached 100 nominations, he is then crowned Prime Minister on Monday, quite straightforwardly. If it's him and Boris Johnson in the two, then there will be an indicative vote by MPs. So they will be able to make clear who their preference is out of the two, but that will not be binding, and then we'll go to the membership. I think the way that this process was designed was in order to try and put maximum pressure on that runner-up, if there is a vote on Monday, to pull out, to avoid the need to go to the membership, and to get on with getting the new person into number 10 with little delay and intrigue. But I would imagine if it is Boris Johnson who's the runner-up, I would be surprised if he pulled out. You know, he is very popular with the membership, and he would have a very strong chance of winning if it were taken to the party members.
Okay. What do you think personally? Who's going to be your next PM?
Well, I hate to be hostage to fortune when we're this close to the outcome. It certainly seems at the moment that behind all the headlines and the rhetoric and the excitement and the feeling that Boris Johnson generates, it feels to me the momentum is very much with Rishi Sunak.
Okay, I hope we're not back here next week talking about that being a hostage to fortune. Lucy Fisher, political commentator with Times Radio, thank you very much. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Now, Enda Brady, London-based journalist, is on the line. Enda, where do you see it all going?
Well, Brendan, at some point, it would be lovely if the British public got a say in any of this. There are 357 Conservative MPs. There are 140,000-odd members of the Conservative Party nationwide, predominantly in the south and southeast of England, and yet 68 million people are affected by the decisions of a government and a prime minister. So at some stage, the public have to have their say. Now, I'm talking to you today live from rural Oxfordshire, where I live. I'm in the Henley-on-Thames constituency. This is Boris Johnson's old stomping ground. We had him here as MP for years. He still has property in the area. You still see him around here. And I can tell you, people here are heartily sick of this Johnson psychodrama dragging on.
Okay, so that's it. That's his own tribe there, if you will. So listen, that's an interesting prospect now, that and an election. Obviously, Labour are looking for an election. It feels slightly as if it's gone further than that, though. I think the FT were calling for an election, and some Tories have called for an election as well. Do you think that could be a prospect?
Not before Christmas. I think we will have one here in the UK before May, I would imagine. Look, I think trust was so bad. People will be receiving letters from their banks and mortgage lenders this weekend and in the coming weeks with the new interest rates informing them of how much their mortgages have gone up off the back of Liz Truss's 44 days in office. I think people have had enough. They want to have a say, and this keeps playing out. I mean, Theresa May got foisted on the public with this, you know, bizarre, drawn-out process that the Conservative Party goes through. And then we had Truss, and now all of this. I think people are struggling. You know, the UK's finances have been on fire for a long time, and Truss has basically lobbed in a hand grenade and walked off. So I think people want to have their say. Obviously, Labour are desperate for an election. They're looking at the polling. They've never had figures like these. I mean, Tony Blair, in his pomp in 97 and the late 90s, never polled anywhere near what Starmer's doing, and Starmer just doesn't have his charisma.
And the Tories on 14%, which is, I gather, their lowest in modern polling
history.
Yeah.
Wipeout territory.
So listen, what about the idea of there's some talk, I feel it's coming more from the Boris Johnson side than the Sunak side, about some idea of a pact between the two of them that would give the best of both worlds?
But look, that's not going to work. You know, Johnson blames Sunak for knifing him in the summer in the first place, because the wave of resignations was started by Sunak. And Johnson is, I've known him 25 years almost. He is a man who holds grudges. And this is why you're seeing these flurry of blue tick Conservative MP Twitter accounts coming out in the last 24 hours, nailing their colours to the Johnson mast, because they know that if they want to have any prospects of getting a job in cabinet or a junior government minister role under Johnson, they have to be seen to have backed him publicly. So the bandwagon has started. He does hold grudges, and I just can't see it working. I mean, Sunak and Johnson, you know, if one were PM and the other were Chancellor, that's going to blow up very quickly. And something nobody has mentioned here is the Privileges Committee still has a very serious investigation into Boris Johnson MP as to whether or not he lied to Parliament and misled Parliament over the parties in Downing Street, which everyone seems to have forgotten.
So what happens now? Presumably, we haven't heard a word from Rishi Sunak. Johnson's been talking through his friend Dudders and stuff like that. I'm going to go for it, Dudders. Do they have to come out declare themselves at some point in all of this? And then what do you think will happen on Monday?
So look, Johnson's been in the Caribbean on his third foreign holiday since July. He will have been all over the WhatsApp groups, getting in touch, texting people, testing the water. He knows that he is a figure that many older people in the Conservative Party feel has the charisma to win an election. And they will be looking towards winning an election. And they are in fear of Keir Starmer, because they look at the polling and they will be thinking, hand on heart, who could possibly stop Starmer? So I think what's going to happen on Monday, you'll see Morden probably fade away by tomorrow evening. She's really not going to get the 100. You know, she's on 36, as my figures are.
Sunak is saying only 19 here, but they're obviously going on only officially.
What they're saying is she's on 36. Look, she's not at the races. It's between Sunak and Johnson. I think Monday anything can happen. But if someone is looking at this and looking at the UK's finances, Sunak is a serious money guy. He understands that you have to pay for things. You can't just keep borrowing money on the never-never. Truss basically blew up the markets. The pension system was on the brink of collapse. The Bank of England had to intervene with something like 50 billion euros worth of buying of government debt to stop the pensions collapsing 2 weeks ago. And Sunak understands money. He's from an extremely wealthy background. His wife is from a billionaire family. He knows that things have to be paid for. So if you want a serious candidate, people will be saying Sunak, and then the others will be saying, hang on though, will he beat Starmer? We need Johnson. I think if they go for Johnson, it will all unravel by Christmas.
Okay, so like you present a very rational case for Sunak, but of course, as you say yourself, this is not rational. As Lucy said there, Boris Johnson is a feeling as well. So I'm going to pin you back down again before you go, though. So what will we see on Monday? Will we see a coronation of Sunak, or will we see Sunak and Johnson going to the membership, do you think?
I think, here's my prediction. I think Sunak will get more MPs backing him. Johnson will finish second, and anyone with a shred of decency would bow out with dignity and allow Sunak to become Prime Minister. Johnson does not have those
traits. Okay, you don't need to finish that sentence. All right.
You can see what's going to happen. That's my prediction. And look, someone said to me the other day, the Conservative Party right now, someone used the phrase, they said, the ringleader has left the circus and the lions are eating the clowns. And the ringleader has just flown back in.
Okay, so this could go to the membership and this could end very unpredictably.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Crazy times, Brendan. Crazy times.
You said it. We'll take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.